You're listening to the Everybody's Hungry segment, part of Tom and Sandy's 805 on KBTA 1590 AM.
The 805.
Representing for everyone in the 805.
It's all about the 805.
From the very best of Ventura County, it's live in the 805. Now, back to your hosts, Tom and Sandy.
Welcome back. We're Tom and Sandy's 805 on News Talk 1590. Don't forget to check out 805favorites.com.
And what we're going to do right now is play that little bit that I wanted everybody to hear from my grandfather, Cottonseed Clark, who used to do these on his radio show, and it was very popular. Now, remember, it was back in the day, so you're going to listen a little more to old-time radio right here. It's only 4 minutes long, so hang tight in there, okay?
Tell me the tales that to me were so dear. Long, long ago.
I like to recall the days of my youth better than anyone I know. For them was the days when I really lived, them days of long ago. Why, just thinking of when Paul pulled my teeth with a string tied to the door makes my eyes puddle up with tears, and I wished I was young once more. I like to think of when I stole them melons from old man Bywater's field, and he fired at me with his double barrel loaded with rind and peel. Or the time I lost my big toenail, or when Pa had to put me in line for smoking them corn silk cigarettes or puffing on an old grapevine. But one day stands out plain in my mind, and I reckon it all was well. And I'll never forget what happened that day as long as I shall live. Now, when I tell you my story, you'll more than likely call me a sinner. For it was the day, one Sunday noon, when the preacher come to dinner. We'd killed some hogs the day before, and Ma, she'd baked a ham. There was peas, corn, homemade bread, and a jar of her strawberry jam. Of course, there was dozens of other things, and every dish was a winner, for cooking meant nothing at all to Ma when the preacher come to dinner. I was never so hungry in all of my life as when we finally took a seat. But Paul looked at me and the other kids as if to tell us how to eat. Now, confidentially, he had drilled us all just before the preacher come about second helpings and manners and what should and shouldn't be done. Well, we all took a seat, and with a hungry look, I put the napkin under my chin. I started to reach but let out a screech when Paul's foot busted my shin. Well, I knowed right then that I'd done wrong and that I'd acted out of place. But I was so hungry, I'd clean forgot that the preacher hadn't yet asked grace. We bowed our heads in silence, and I felt ashamed for what I'd done. Then he began to offer thanks for most everything under the sun. He blessed the chicken, he blessed the bread, he even blessed the jam. He blessed the peas, he blessed the corn, and then he blessed the ham. Oh, now understand, I believe in saying grace, for my folks had raised me right. But it seemed to me that preacher was a-going to bless everything in sight. Well, I was just about ready to give it up when he finally said, amen. But then I was really ready to eat, 'cause my stomach was a-caving in. Now, to get ahead of my story, and when dinner was over and through, I hadn't had enough victuals to eat to fill up a thimble or two. Imagine yourself in my place with a million good things in sight, a-having to starve yourself to death in order to be polite. Well, that was a day I'll never forget, and it left its mark on me. One piece of chicken, one helping of corn, and one or two little old peas. Well, after that, I made a vow that I'd never get no thinner if I waited and ate at the second table when the preacher come to dinner.
So that was very melodic. But you know what the great part about that was? I wanted to go back to those simpler times.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. It was a different time then. I hope everybody enjoyed that out there. He's got quite a few of them that I actually have in my repertoire, so maybe we'll play them now and then or whatever. But there's a lot of fun things. Kind of takes you back to, like you say, simpler times, you know, and everything else. But I think our next guest, we're going to start right now.
Now I'm hungry.
Of course you're hungry. Because we're talking about the hungry man. Everybody's hungry. And, you know, I have nothing printed out. You know, he sent all that over late yesterday. And then we had I went to a function last night. You were at a function last night.
Because I went to your function.
Yeah, right. And so we have nothing printed in front of us. But it's everybody's hungry, I think, .com, or everybody's hungry on Facebook. And you can find out about Jason and giving back to Food Share.
Yeah, because every time that he goes to eat, he gives a portion back to Food Share, which is really cool.
He does.
But we'll let him explain it the next time he comes. But right now, we've got a really special guest.
We do. We've got Kyle Stevenson. Am I saying it right there?
Yes, that's correct.
Come right up to the microphone, Kyle. And he's with Howling's Tomatoes. Now, we've all heard of Howling Tomatoes. They're huge out there. We're going to find out a little bit about them. They're one of our local businesses right here in the 805. So, good morning.
Morning. Thank you, Tom and Sandy. Yeah, I'm here to talk about Howling's Tomatoes, and it's a very, very cool facility. It's 125 acres greenhouse hydroponic facility. We're stationed in Camarillo, California, and in total, we produce over 74 million pounds of tomatoes. So we're a very large producing facility that's able to, be sustainable and conserve our natural resources for the future generations. So some of the things that really make us stand out is our greenhouse. First of all, it's a closed environment that has a protected environment, so it decreases the chances of disease or any pesticides coming in. Then also we use a hydroponic system, so that basically means that we grow without soil. So when we're growing without soil, we're able to use, we're able to calculate how much water we're using and how much fertilizer we're using.
How do you grow without soil?
So what we're doing is we're using a coco mesh. So hydroponics, the definition of it is to grow without soil. And that's just, you can use water, you can use coco fiber, you could use hydroton, you can use peat moss. So there's a different varieties that you can grow with, but essentially it's allowing you to control how much fertilizer is going in and how much water is going into your plants, and then it allows you to reduce your needs for those. So because we use hydroponics, we can use a sixth of the amount of the water to produce the same amount of tomatoes in the soil, and we're able to half the amount of fertilizer. So we're able to very much measure what's going into our plants to make sure we're producing premium quality tomatoes for our consumers in order to make sure, you know, that we're
Yeah, you know what I wanted to ask you right there, because it's quite interesting. So you have a real actual control over your tomatoes, maybe flavor-wise or you know, what you're really looking for. In other words, because you're not growing it directly out of the dirt and you're not sure what's down in the dirt many times, you know, and it's just the water going down there and the roots are down there and you don't even know what they're tapping into. But here you guys have a real control to get that tomato one after another coming out exactly how you want them.
That is correct. We're able to really control our environments. Our growers are able to make sure that the tomatoes are getting exactly what they want. And essentially this allows us to produce, like I said, 74 million pounds of tomatoes. It'd take 3,000 acres of soil grown in order to get the same sort of production and six times the amount of water.
So where can we find these yummy little tomatoes?
We distribute, Costco is our main vendor, but you can also find them at Vons, Ralph's, Albertsons, and Bristol Farms and Gelson's Markets.
Wow.
Okay, so which ones are yours? In other words, I go to Vons, it's right down the street, and you have the Roma tomatoes over there, and then you've got the Vine tomatoes up there, and they're one thing. Those
That's
are the most expensive
question,
ones.
Because how do we know which ones are yours?
Yeah.
So we actually use a trust tag in order to market them. So it's going to be a little branding, and you're going to see the Howlings along with Casey standing up there atop of all our tomatoes. And what we do is we actually grow eight different varieties, and we're going to be moving into heirloom. So we do three types of varieties of TOVs. We do yellow, orange, red, and then we also do specialty tomatoes, which are strawberry tomatoes, grape tomatoes, cocktail tomatoes. And then we're looking to move into the heirloom, so you're going to be able to find us there. But what I really wanted to talk about for this this interview is for the Seeds of Tomorrow project.
Okay.
So one of the things that's very cool about Casey is he wants to reduce his carbon footprint and leave a lasting change for the future generations. So based from his daughter, went down to Tactic, Guatemala recently in order to do a medical clinic down there, and really inspired Casey to go down there. And at the end of the day, he was able to see that they were in need, and they needed nutrition. So he was tied with Impact Ministry, which is a great group that is helping to educate and feed the local community. And what we're doing is we're working with our partners to donate a greenhouse to the area in order to fight the cycle of child hunger in the area.
Okay.
Very cool.
That is really cool.
So some of the main challenges down there is it's the fourth most malnourished country. So what we're going to do is we're going to be building a greenhouse. They have a lot of rain coming in, so their seedlings will actually get wiped out by the rain. So we're going to build a structure that's going to allow them to protect it in order to grow them, so then they can move them out to the field and then eventually get a cycle where they're going to have a nutrition system where they're going to be able to feed 13,000 kids continuously throughout the year, as well as providing education.
Right. Now, tomatoes, I mean, they're such a staple in our food chain, you know. I mean, you always have tomatoes, but they have, and maybe it's a little different here with you, with Howling or whatever, but they basically have seasons, because I know that I eat tomatoes this time of year, and they're not nearly as flavorful as they are in the summer.
And so does that matter, the way you're cultivating the tomatoes, because they do come in seasons? And what if it's not the right season?
That is one of the greatest advantages out of greenhouse growing, is essentially you get 365 days of growing ability. So at least in Camarillo, California, that's a lot of the reason why Casey decided to come to Camarillo, is because he was able to take advantage. Howling started up in Canada, so he does a propagation facility where he grows up his seedlings and then transfer them to our greenhouses down here that allows them to produce 365 days. So that's one of the things where actually, because of the greenhouse, we're not held to not being year-round.
So Howling Tomatoes, H-O-U-W-E-L-I-N-G-S, and look for the like you said, the little marker on the tomatoes.
Yep, the trust tag.
Okay, cool.
That will be the sign that you're getting a good quality Howling's tomatoes.
Oh, I'm going to look
you
for
know,
that.
I was impressed for a second there, because I'm thinking you actually know how to spell Howling's, and I realize he's got a shirt that you're just looking at his shirt going, H-O-U-W. I mean, seriously, I was sitting here going, wow, she knows how to spell that. That's really cool. Now, you also can spell tomatoes, because I can see that, T-O-M-A-T-O-E-S.
You're good.
You see how fast I was?
Wow.
Is that amazing?
All right, very cool.
Spelling bee here.
So we're going to look for your tomatoes in all of the grocery stores, because it's local. And that's what's kind of cool about it, is because I have actually been noticing a lot of different produce in some of the supermarkets, and they're from Mexico and, you know, other places. And I'm thinking, we really got to make an effort to shop local. So I'm going to look for
correct,
you.
That's correct, Sandy.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom and Sandy. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
And I guess we're going to go on a really quick
break. Real quick break.
And we'll be right back. We're Tom and Sandy's 805 on News Talk 1520.
You've been listening to the Everybody's Hungry segment on Tom and Sandy's 805. Follow us at everybodyshungry.org on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+.